WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Morning, Belle!
Morning, Monsieur!
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story about a beanstalk and an ogre and
That's nice. Marie! The baguettes! Hurry up!
Look, there she goes, the girl is strange, no question. Dazed and distracted, can't you tell?
Never part of any crowd,
cause her head's a handsome clown.
No denying she's a funny girl, that Belle.
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your fam?
Unlike her animated predecessors, Belle, the heroine of the new movie Beauty and the Beast, is cast as a feminist. So critic Maureen Carrigan had to go see the film.
The Disney studios have created all sorts of strange creatures over the last 50 years. A talking mouse, a flying elephant, a rabbit that ice skates. But they've never conjured up a feminist before, so I was intrigued. Well, Belle is no Thelma or Louise, but she is smart and brave. She prefers reading books to mooning about, waiting for her prince to come. And when her father and then her beloved beast are in danger, she sets out alone to rescue them. I think Disney's responding to critics who've objected to the female stereotyping in other classic cartoons. Before Belle, the only gutsy female character that Disney ever created was Dumbo's mother. But the real twist in Beauty and the Beast is its treatment of male characters. Someone at Disney must have gone on a wild man weekend. The movie comes across like a dramatization of one of those men's movement Bibles, Iron John or Fire in the Belly. The traditional French fairy tale of Beauty and the Beast focuses on how Beauty learns to love the Beast despite his fur. And the TV show of a few seasons back took the same approach. But the center of Disney's story is the Beast's evolution into a strong and sensitive new man. To drive home its message about masculinity, the movie shows us two other men who don't quite meet the Iron John standard. There's Beauty's father, Maurice, an inventor, all brain and no brawn. And then there's Gaston. He looks like Prince Charming, but he's exposed as a reactionary who sees women as sex objects and who only loves himself.
In a wrestling match, nobody fights like Gaston.
For there's no one as burly and brawny.
As you see, I've got biceps to spare.
Not a bit of him scraggly or scrawny.
That's right. And every last inch of me's covered with hair.
No one hits like Gaston.
With Beauty's help, the Beast combines Gaston's macho-ness with Maurice's compassion. By movie's end, the Beast has changed into a new man named Eric. And to show Beauty that he loves her mind as well as her looks, he gives her a magnificent library. I admit, I did feel disappointed when the Beast and all of the enchanted objects in his castle become human again. Nobody breathes life into animals, vegetables, and household appliances better than Disney. This movie, like its predecessors, is filled with wonders. A teapot with the voice of Angela Lansbury, a candelabra that dances and sings like Maurice Chevalier. Because Disney's movies are so magical, criticizing their sexual politics has always seemed like such a drippy thing to do. That's why Beauty and the Beast is such a treasure. Children of all ages can fall under its spell without worrying about swallowing warped romantic fantasies. Beauty and the Beast both become stronger after they fall in love. Okay, it's a fairy tale, but like Tinkerbell says, you gotta believe.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University.